All right, so we saw last week the conclusion of the sugya, the back and forth, where our final source for making brachas turns out to be a svara, a logic. So Tosfos points out, the last Tosfos on the page, Ella, Ella svarahu asala adam sheyana v'chule. Right, so he says v'kra. So this pasuk, and we mentioned this last week, but just to emphasize it, brought out from by Tosfos v'kra. So the pasuk, the nasiv le'el that we were trying to work out earlier, is this the source? Is that the source? Is there another source? Is there another pasuk? Asmachta ba'alma. It's an asmachta. It's just an asmachta. An asmachta means it's something which is leaned upon, something which is relied upon. We
as in somech.
As in somech, right? Smicha. We saw this the first person that got smicha in last week's parasha.
That's right.
That's where the smicha. This week we're still holding back, right? Right. This week. The first smichas rabbonim. So asmachta means that Chazal had a halacha which they wanted to introduce, but we know that kol detakan rabbanon, anything that the rabbanon institute ke'ein diraisa takan, they always establish it like a diraisa. They have some sort of somewhere to find a source for it in the Torah. So even though it's not a diraisa, it's an asmachta. So the Gemara hayasava mitchila delimud gamorhu, but originally the Gemara had originally thought that it was actually a diraisa. It must have had a diraisa source. So all of this back and forth, which was trying to find a source, was presuming that it actually was diraisa. It was a Torah law, and we're trying to find a real source in the Torah for this Torah law of all these brachas. And the conclusion of the Gemara is no. All of those we were trying to find is only an asmachta, because really it's only a derabbanan. How? What's the proof that it's only a derabbanan? Well, at the end, the source of it turns out not to be one of these verses. It turns out to be a svara, a logic, right? So all it is a logic, and that's the end. For most of the brachas, it doesn't even have an asmachta. Doesn't even have a pasuk in the Torah. We saw that. A few of them do have a derabbanan, and we can learn out. For example, olives we can learn out, and perhaps everything that is planted we can learn out. But certainly things which aren't planted, that doesn't have a source for a bracha in the Torah, not even an asmachta, and that comes purely from a svara, from a logic. Now, I told you last week that we will see some interesting halachic applications that come out of this svara. So, the Gemara concluded right down the bottom, which is six lines up from the end, just the line up from the two dots. Ella, which is five words in from the end of the line. Ella svarahu, rather. All of our sources, all of our psukim in the Torah don't give us anything. We don't have even though we were using almost all 13 of the principles that we can use to make drashas in the Torah, nothing helped us. And rather, what are we left with? Svarahu. It's a logic. What is the logical principle which all of the brachas, the birkas hanehanin, the brachas on pleasure, the brachas on food and sense, where does that come from the Torah? Asa loyla adam sheyene min ha'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. It is prohibited, forbidden for a person to get any pleasure from this world without first making a bracha. So now we're going to continue. We're going to see the Gemara just to see the strictness of this rule. That it's prohibited for a person to get any pleasure from the world without first making a bracha. So let's see the continuation of the Gemara, and we'll see how strict this is. Tana Rabbanan. Asa la adam, asa le la adam shi'ena mena olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It was taught in a braisa. Excuse me. that it's forbidden for a person to get any pleasure from the world without making a bracha. V'kol hanene min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. And anyone that does get hana, get pleasure from the world without making a bracha, mo'al. He is guilty of me'ila. Anyone know what me'ila is?
Being an ingrate?
No. That's kafo tova.
To describe exactly, it's something to do with the korbanos.
What to do with the korbanos?
Yeah, improper handling of korbanos.
Not exactly improper handling, improper usage of korbanos. If one would use, right, a korban or anything else which is hekdesh, which is kaddish, which has is sanctified for Lashem, right, as a korban for Hashem, for the Beis HaMikdash or for the Mizbeach or for anything which is Kaddish, which is set aside for holy use, if a person takes that and uses it for his own personal use, that's called Me'ila. So Me'ila is literally stealing from God. This is God's permission, this is God's possessions, and you're stealing from it. So this is the prohibition of Me'ila. And Me'ila, the punishment of Me'ila is that you have to return the value of that item back to Hegdish, and there's a fine, a penalty of adding a fifth. You have to add a chomesh on top of it. Yes, so it's a very, very strict thing. Stealing, eating without making a bracha first, it's considered Me'ila, that you stole this food, this produce from Hashem. My takanase. So what is his, how can he fix it up? What's his takana? What should he go and do? Right, if he, right, seemingly the Gemara is asking, what happens if you made a, if you ate without making a bracha, what should you do? Yelech etzel chacham, he should go to a Talmud chacham. Right, that's how you fix it up. You ate without making a bracha, go to a chacham. What's the chacham going to do?
Forgive him.
No, doesn't have that.
That's not this religion. Yeah. I'm afraid. Amen. Asks the Gemara, Yelech etzel chacham, my avidle. He's going to go to a chacham. What's he going to do for him? He can't do anything for him. Ha avidle asura. He did an asura. He did a prohibition. Yeah, you ate without making a bracha. What's a chacham going to do? Yeah, maybe another religion that can help him.
Yeah.
But in our religion, a chacham isn't going to help him if he fix up an isur, prohibition that he transgressed. Ella, Rava, Omar Rava, says Rava, what does it mean, Yelech etzel chacham, as his a way of fixing him up? What does it mean he should go to a chacham? Yelech etzel chacham me'ikara. He should have gone to a chacham originally.
Before.
V'yilmedenu brachas. And that chacham should teach him brachas, right? He should go to a rav, go to yeshiva, and sit in a shir and learn hilchas brachas. Kadei shalai yavai lidei me'ila. In order that he shouldn't come to me'ila in the first place.
As opposed to getting absolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as opposed to absolution. The absolution, right, that's going to come from doing teshuvah.
You should do
teshuvah. But a takana, a way to fix up that you would never come to Me'ila, is that you should go to a Talmud Chacham to learn Hilchas Brachas.
Right.
Just an example of this in Halacha is that we know there's a rule that if you don't know what the bracha is on a certain food, yeah, you're not sure whether it's Ha'adama, whether it's Ha'etz, right? So or whether it's Shehakol. So a way of solving it is make shahakol, because shahakol covers everything.
Right.
Or if it's a fruit, if you're not sure whether it's a fruit or vegetable, then make the bracha of hadoma, because that includes ha'etz. So this halacha, we're not going to say you're allowed to use that anytime.
Right.
You're only allowed to use it in very, very specific situations.
When you don't have access to...
When you've been to the rabbi, and you've asked him, and he still doesn't know,
yeah,
then what can I do? right? Then I've tried my best. Right?
So you've already done some investigation.
You've done your investigation. You've tried as hard as you can, and then what can I do? Right? So similar over here. All right. So if you accidentally, after you've learned brachas and you learned everything, accidentally you forgot to make a bracha. Okay. What can I do? I try. I'll do teshuva. But there's a certain level of negligence over here, mm-hmm. that he's, you know, right. just because he's going to get up to the pearly gates after 120 and say, "What do you mean? I didn't know Hilchos Brachos. Did you go to yeshiva? Did you learn Hilchos Brachos?"
So, if somebody forgot, and after that remember, why not to say now?
That is an excellent question, yeah. And that is a subject of our class. We're going to go on to it in a few minutes. Good. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel.
I think, you know, when you said that the Chacham will forgive you, I mean, that's clearly not true, but I think he was onto something in that, you know, the Chacham will give him the tools to do teshuva. So,
very good, know, absolutely. So I think, you know, yeah.
That's where we, that's our twist on that.
Yes. Yeah, Omar Rav Yehuda, two lines up from the last two lines, first word of the line, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, said Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, Kol ha-nene min ha-ilam hazeh b'lo bracha, ki'ilu nene mikol shei shemayim. Anyone who has pleasure from this world without making a bracha, it's as if he had pleasure from kol shei shemayim. Yeah, as we said, from kol shem, same thing, me'ila.
Okay. Shene emar. So I enjoy, going on merry-go-rounds.
Yeah.
You sit on the benches.
Huh? Is that considered pleasure?
Yeah.
So that is not considered hana. Hana has to be quantifiable pleasure, and it's specifically Chazal tell us that the pleasure which obligates a bracha is pleasure which is ingested.
Mm-hmm. Only food.
Comes in either through the mouth or through the nose. It's the taste buds. It's the pleasure, the hana of taste. Okay. So that's the bracha. That's the hana which obligates a bracha. So now we're going to see a source for this bracha, an interesting source of this bracha, which the Gemara is going to question in a moment. Ki'ilu nene, it's as if he had pleasure, hana, from kodshei shamayim, sheneemar, as the verse says, Lashem ha'aretz umloya. To Hashem is the world and everything that it contains, right? Everything in the world belongs to Hashem, right? So if you did it without making a bracha, it's called me'ila. Now, this is an amazing, amazing Gemara. And the last line of the Gemara over here, I think it shares such a beautiful insight into what exactly... Here, Abdavid, would you like a... It shares such a beautiful insight into what the purpose and what the idea of brachas really is in general. So let's see this Gemara. It's beautiful. Rabbi Levi Rami, he brings a contradiction. Yeah, this same verse we mentioned before, Ksiv, it says in one pasuk, Lashem ha'aretz umloya. To Hashem is the earth, is the world, and everything that it contains. Uksiv. And it also says in another pasuk, Hashemayim, Shemayim Lashem. The Shemayim, the heavens, those are gods. V'ha'aretz, nosan livnei Adam. And the world, the earth, is given to people. Right? So it's a big contradiction. In one it says, Lashem ha'aretz umloya. To Hashem is the world and everything it contains, meaning the physical world. Mm-hmm. And the other one it says, Hashemayim, Shemayim belongs to Hashem. V'ha'aretz, nosan livnei Adam. But the world, the earth, the land, everything that it contains is given to man. So does this world belong to man or does it belong to God? A contradiction in Pesukim, contradiction in verses in Tehillim.
It's the same as Torah. People belong to Torah, not Hashem. If someone give people, it's meant to give.
Did you say Torah?
No, usually mentions that Torah belongs to people after they gave us.
Oh, right.
The same thing if you gave us, this is us.
Right, but there the conclusion with Torah is that Torah loy b'shamayim hi. It's not in Shemayim, it's right down here. Although, having said that, there is a very, very similar contradiction which is brought down in, with regards to Torah as well. The contradiction is, it says in one verse, Ki im b'toras Hashem cheftzai, your desire should be only in Toras Hashem, in the Torah of Hashem. And the end of the verse says, Uvasayra sai, yege yom of Laila. And in his Torah, he will be involved in all, day and night, meaning your own Torah. So, Ki im b'toras Hashem, the Torah of God, that's my desire, Uvasayra sai, yege yom of Laila. So the Gemara answers over there, this is not a contradiction. The answer is that one is talking about before he learned Torah, right? I desire Torah's Hashem, right? That's Hashem's Torah, that's up there. That's Hashem's Torah, I desire, that's what I desire. But when you're actually learning and involved in it, then that becomes your own Torah. And this is a famous vort of the Mashkiach, in yeshiva, we'll tell this idea, that for a person to make a kinyan, to make an acquisition on the Torah, then you learn the Torah, it becomes your own. It becomes your own Torah. That's the answer that's given over there in terms of the Torah. That through learning the Torah, that becomes yours. You make an acquisition on it. Very nice. That was exactly what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah. No, but I remember that we were on another discussion, and they just asked different questions. Last one, he said, Torah in the earth.
Right.
It's not...
Torah loy v'shamayim hi.
It belongs to us.
So over here, so what do we do with this contradiction over here? In one passage it says, Lashem ha'aretzim loya. The world and everything in it belongs to Hashem. The other one it says, Hashemayim, Shemayim belongs to Hashem. Va'aretz, nasen livnei odom, has been given to man. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. It's not a kasha. It's not a problem. It's not a contradiction. Kan, koydem bracha. Kan la'achar bracha. Here, one is referring to before the bracha. One is referring to after the bracha. Before the bracha, that belongs to Hashem. You're living, as I've heard it very, very beautifully put, we're sitting in Hashem's living room over here. Yeah, we're in his house. We're guests in his palace. Yeah. When you walk into someone's palace, you're not just going to help yourself. I'll have a bit of that, and I'll have a bit of that, right? It's there. You've been invited in. You're welcome to have anything you like, but you can't go ahead and take it without asking. First, you ask because it belongs to Hashem, right? When you ask, then that's the permission that's given to you that says, "Ah, you're welcome. Please, you're welcome to enjoy it. You're welcome to take pleasure." But before that point, this is all Hashem. It belongs to Hashem. Hashem haratzim laya. After the bracha, then you have permission, you're allowed to enjoy and partake of as much as you like. And this, I think, is a beautiful idea of the purpose, of the whole idea of brachas. What brachas are all about is an idea of recognition that Hashem wants good for us. But before I enjoy and take this pleasure, let's bring it back to its source. Let's recognize that it's coming from Hashem and as it were, say your please, you know, where's your manners? You know, your pleases and your thank yous.
Right. So, this is a mention about bracha before the food?
This is talking about the bracha before the food, yeah. 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 As obviously the bracha afterwards as well. Okay. Good. So this is the idea of brachas, and it's the idea of when a person hasn't made a bracha. Right, that is ke'ilu ma'al. It's as if he stole from Hashem. Right? And the next Gemara says, the next Gemara actually uses those explicit words. He says, Kol anene min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Anyone who's had pleasure from this world without a bracha, ke'ilu goizel la'kadosh baruch hu. He stole from Hashem. He stole from Hashem. Right? So the bracha itself is that you're not allowed to eat from this food until first you recognize Hashem, until you first you say please. So there's an interesting halacha that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, which some commentators want to explain this halacha based on our Gemara. So the halacha is, what if you are in a situation that the word of the Shulchan Aruch is shachach, Bringing down from a Gemara. This is based on a Gemara in Brachas as well. Shachach v'hichnis mashkin l'toich piv b'loi bracha. What if you forgot to make a bracha and you put liquids, you put drinks into, you had a drink without making a bracha? And what are you supposed to do now? So the Shulchan Aruch over here is talking specifically about a liquid, right? A liquid is not something that you can spit out, right? If you spit it out, it's going to be a bit gross, right? The Gemara, however, if it will be something you can spit out, then the Shulchan Aruch brings the Gemara, also Paskind in the Shulchan Aruch, brings a difference there as well. If you had a solid, let's have a look at the Gemara. Sorry, I didn't print it out for you guys. But the Gemara says like this. Omar Rav Yehuda. Says Rav Yehuda. Shachach v'hichnes oichlin l'toich piv. If you forgot and you put food inside your mouth, b'loi bracha, without making bracha, mesalkon l'tzad echad. You should move it to one side of your mouth. Umavarich. And make a bracha. Okay, that is a simple brisa over here.
Before
now
you
we're gonna
it.
Before you swallow it, yeah. It. Now we're gonna make it a little bit more complicated, and then we'll explain it and simplify it. Tanya Chada, one brisa says boilon, you have to swallow it. But Tanya Idach, polton, and another one says you have to spit it out. But Tanya Idach, masalkon, and another one says move it to one side of your mouth. So, what does it mean? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to swallow it. You're supposed to spit it out, or you're supposed to move it to the side of your mouth.
Compromise.
Three opinions.
Yeah.
Right? Seemingly three opinions.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, no, loy kasha. We're talking about three very different cases. Harder tanya boilon, this that we're talking about boilon, that you have to swallow it, is a situation, but mashkin is talking about liquids. Yeah, liquids, if you spit it out, it's not going to be, right? You can't make a bracha when there's liquids in your mouth.
Yeah,
and you can't spit it out. You know, try making a bracha when there's liquids in your mouth. Not going to work. And try spitting out. It's going to be gross. So there we say, swallow it. V'odah tanya polton. And this we say, you have to spit it out. That's talking about b'midi d'loy mamis. It's talking about something that's not going to become gross. Like you put a grape into your mouth. You didn't yet start chewing on it. Right? So there you can take it out of your mouth. It's not going to be gross. Take the grape out of your mouth. Make the bracha. Then put it in and start chewing. V'ha'adah tanya masalkam, and this that we taught that you move it to the side of your mouth is midi de mamis. It's something that's going to be partly chewed. It's going to be gross if you take it out of your mouth. Right there, we say move it to the side of your mouth and then make a bracha. The reason why we say that lechatchila, if you're able to, you have to take it out of your mouth, is because of a posuk that says yimoli pi tilosecha. Does it bring it here? I think it's Imali Pi Tilosecha, that when I give praise to Hashem, it's with a complete mouth, my whole mouth gives praise to Hashem. Right? So if you've got food in your mouth, you can't give praise to Hashem with your whole mouth. So Lechat Chilo, we're going to say, the best way is take it out of your mouth, if you're able to, if it's not going to be gross. If not, move it to the side of your mouth. If it's liquids, what can you do? You can't take it to the side of your mouth. You can't make a bracha. So there we say you have to swallow it. So this is the psak, which is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Shachach v'hichnes mashkin l'toich piv b'loi bracha. If you forgot to, you put something in your mouth, a drink. You had a drink without making a bracha. Boilon. Then you swallow them. What now?
Have some more with a bracha.
Great. Exactly.
Yeah.
What if there is no more?
It's a rabbanim.
Still make a bracha akrona if it's
the shear. Bracha akrona if there's a shear, 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No shayla, no question.
You're okay, you move on.
How about the bracha rishayna?
You missed it.
If you don't have any more, I think you missed it, right?
Why?
Why what?
Because
would explain it.
Because it's already down the hatch, basically, and You can't make a bracha rishona at that point.
Okay. Okay, explain it using the words that we've been discussing. Through this. Use the word hana.
You already got the hana from it, taste wise.
Okay.
It's all finished basically, so.
Okay.
There's nothing more to
derive
hana from.
Okay.
You swallow, the game is over.
Okay, a basic explanation. Very good. Very good. And this is indeed the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch paskins. V'ein mavarich aleihem bracha rishayna. Right? You swallow them and you don't make a bracha rishayna on them. That's the halacha. That is the halacha brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. So I've seen some mefarshim, some commentaries explain some. I think it's brought down by Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Minchas Shlomo. I saw this years ago, but I don't have the exact quote. And I don't have the sefer over here, unfortunately. Maybe we can speak to Mr. Davidoff and try and get it. So he wants to explain that this is based on our Gemara. That the psak is based, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, the halachic ruling is of the Shulchan Aruch over here, that you don't have to make a bracha, is based on our Gemara, based on the svara, based on the logic. What does this mean? So let's think about it a minute. When the Gemara says the logic that we have to make a bracha is, Asa loy la'odam sheyeneh min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. You are not allowed to get any pleasure from this world without making a bracha. So in essence then, and we saw that it's me'ila, right? It belongs to Hashem, you're stealing from Hashem. So in essence, when I have an item in front of me, produce, some sort of food item in front of me, this item is a prohibited item, right? This is me'ila. It's hektish, it's kodesh, it belongs to someone else, right? What do I do when I make the bracha? I remove that prohibition. Right? It was, if we're going to use some nice yeshiva shaloshan over here, it was a cheftza shal issa. The item itself was an item of issa, a prohibited item. Right? It had a prohibition on it. Right? I'm prohibited from eating this. Now, when I make the bracha, I take away the prohibition from this item. Yeah? Does that make sense?
No.
No? Okay. Why not?
What is the source of this prohibition?
It's me'ila. It's hektish. No, you're stealing from God.
No, but I don't see logic. This is part of our.
I'll give you another example.
I'll
give you another example. Are you allowed to eat a cow?
What do you mean?
A cow. Are you allowed to eat a cow?
A whole cow?
Yeah.
No.
That'd be a lot.
No. Why not?
It has to be shucked. It has to be, you have to, you know, salted and...
The dam in there, the chalovim, all the forbidden fats, all of these things, yeah? This cow itself is asa. You can't eat this cow, it's asa. You shecht it, you do malicha, you do nicker, you cut out all the forbidden fats and everything, then it becomes permissible. Right? That there were several isurim, several prohibitions on this. This item itself is asa. Then you do a certain act and it removes the isa. It removes the prohibition which is hanging over the act.
But part of this is preparation, cooking, shecht, everything. But this is what food. What is different? Why I cannot open the book? Why the book is not need to ask permission?
We're saying because Hana.
We said hana.
Specifically relating to what's ingested.
But this definition of prohibition is our decision to make this prohibition. There is no
prohibition. What we're saying over here is that Chazal established the rules of the palace. Yeah, the palace, the rules of the palace are that you can use whatever you want. Yeah, you can use whatever you want because you can use, like, you paid for membership to the palace, you can use whatever you want. When it comes to food, when it comes to ingesting pleasure in taking hana from anything in the palace, that is God's living room. That belongs to God. There we have to make a bracha. Meaning the prohibition isn't on these things. There's no prohibition. There's no bracha. There's no bracha on these things. The bracha is because you have to make a bracha because of this prohibition. And this is what the idea is. That the obligation to make a bracha, right? The obligation to make a bracha comes from this prohibition. Right? We'll see in the other way around in a minute. But the obligation to make a bracha comes from the prohibition. Because I can't eat it before making a bracha, therefore I have to make a bracha. What's the halachic significance of this? The halachic significance is, what if this item is no longer here?
Oh, where?
What if this item is finished? I've eaten it. Or there's no item. A cow. Yeah, you're not allowed to eat it. Because you have to shecht it, and you have to do melicha, and you have to drink it. Yeah? What if there's no cow? Do you have to shecht it?
What is there to shecht?
What is there to shecht?
Yeah.
I don't have to do melicha on, you know, it's only if I have a cow, if I have something, a cheftza shel issa, if I have an item which is prohibited, I have to do the action on that item to make it permissible. The bracha itself only comes because I have something which is prohibited, right? That's why I have to make a bracha, in order to allow this, right, to imagine, yeah, there's little soldiers that are all around this item. They're protecting this item. They say, no, first we've got to make a bracha. Yeah, if there's no item, there's no soldiers going to be watching around, you know, nothing. Yeah, it's gone. There's no prohibition that I need to allow by making a bracha. Yeah, so this is how I think Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains this halacha. The halacha, if you forgot, you put food in your mouth without making a bracha, there's no more bracha. Of course there's no more bracha. The bracha itself anyway was only coming because Asa Laila Adam She'enem Anoilem Azebelei Bracha. You're not allowed to get any pleasure from this world without first making a bracha. If the item that of pleasure is gone, yeah, then there's no bracha, there's no osalai, right? Retroactively, yeah, it was prohibited, I made a mistake. Yeah, but now, there's nothing to do, there's no bracha to make. The bracha itself was only to allow me to eat it.
But there is another piece.
We're talking about a situation where there's no other piece. Absolutely, if there would be another piece, before you eat that other piece, you've got to make a bracha. But on that piece, retroactively, it's gone. The cheftza shel iser is not here anymore. The item which had the prohibition, which the bracha itself is only to make permitted, yeah, it's gone. So the bracha is defunct. It's not required. It's not necessary. Yeah, you don't need to shecht a non-animal. Only if there's an animal here do you need to shecht it. Okay. So this is the explanation of this halacha. Based on our Gemara, also loyla adam shi'enem and oilem azebele bracha, meaning that the bracha itself comes from a prohibition. That is the source of the bracha. Now, very, 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 very fascinating is that the Rama brings another opinion. Yeah, this that we just mentioned now is the opinion of some say it's Rashi, some say it's the opinion of Rashi. And certainly brought down a Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, right? But the Rama brings another opinion. And this is the opinion of the Rosh and the Ravid and the Rashba, v'yesh oimrim, right? And this is according to the Rama, this is the halacha, v'yesh oimrim demevarich, that you would indeed have to make a bracha demevarich aleihem v'chein nira'ika. And this seems to be the halacha. This is how we paskin, according to the Rama. Ashkenazim, if you forgot to make a bracha, and there's no longer any food left, nothing left, then according to the Rama, according to the Rosh and the Rashba, some very, very, very big authorities, you would indeed have to make a bracha. How can we explain this? How do you explain this? Do you have to make a bracha? What do you mean? But the Cheftza Shel Issa is gone. It's gone. There's nothing to make a bracha on. Now the bracha itself was only because there's something which you're not allowed to eat until you make a bracha. So how can we explain that you have to make a bracha on this after it's gone?
What kind of stipulations or time frames on this too, you know?
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean like, but on your simple explanation as well, that has to be explained, right? There's no hana.
Right.
The hana is finished, you know, right? So what are you making the bracha? So very, very difficult to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. According to the explanation that we've given. So we mentioned last week. This is amazing. We mentioned last week a Rashi. Yeah. The Rashi has a little bit of a different wording in this svara. Yeah, he explains the svara, explains the logic a little bit differently. So let's see it again. If you look, five lines up from the bottom of Rashi, Ella, right in the middle of the line, five lines up, Ella, rather svarahu. Yeah, and we're expecting that Rashi is going to quote the Gemara, but he kind of misquotes the Gemara. And botches the Gemara up a little bit, as we say in England. Ella svaru, it's a logic. De kevon de nehene, that since you had pleasure, you had hana, tzarech lehoidos the mi shabarim. You have to give thanks to the one who created them. Since you're about to be enjoying this pleasure, you have to give thanks to the one who created them. Now this is very, very different to the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Gemara says, Asa, you're not allowed to get any pleasure from the world without making bracha. Rashi says, other way around. Right? It's not a prohibition, it's you have to give thanks to the one who created them. So how can Rashi just turn it on its head? Right? Do you hear that? It's completely turning its head.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a prohibition, you're not allowed to get pleasure from the world. No, you, right? Which means you're not allowed to get pleasure from the world, therefore you have to make a bracha. Rashi seems to be saying, no, you have to make a bracha. What about the fact that asa lahedo, asa, right, you're not allowed to get pleasure from the world. So the understanding would be that Rashi is learning completely the opposite. We explain the Gemara that where's the obligation of making a bracha come from? The obligation of making a bracha comes from the prohibition of Me'ila, right? Belongs to Hashem. Therefore, you're not allowed to have it. Therefore, you have to make a bracha. Rashi seems to be understanding the other way around. You have to make a bracha. Therefore, you're not allowed to eat it until you make that bracha. But the source of the source of the prohibition comes from the bracha, right? As opposed to the source of the bracha coming from the prohibition. Right, you're not allowed to eat, therefore you have to make a bracha. He says the other way around. You have to make a bracha, therefore you're not allowed to eat. You hear that? Akadi?
Practically speaking, this is the same.
Practically speaking, it sounds very similar. But maybe not. The prohibition, of not eating it is because, why? Because I have to make a bracha. Meaning the main point is, you have to make a bracha. You're getting pleasure from the world, you have to make a bracha. Therefore, you're not allowed to eat it without making a bracha. If you have eaten it already, and it's gone and finished, it's not here anymore, you've still got to make a bracha. The source of bracha is, Chayim lo'idos l'mishabaram. You have to give thanks to who created this food. Therefore, in certain situations where the food is still here, you're not allowed to eat it. If it's already gone, I still got to give thanks.
That's the bracha korana.
This is the bracha rishona. He's understanding this. They have to understand it. I have to explain it. I'm not sure what the explanation is. But he's saying that the bracha rishona is also on the hoidah is also a type of a bracha of thanks.
Because mm-hmm. It's gone. It's for phone.
But it's not gone. It's not gone.
It's not gone because I can still give thanks. I can still give an appreciation. I can still give an appreciation.
In your mind, it's still something.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
No, but Rashi means bracha before the food, even after.
Even after you finish it, because the bracha itself is chayv lahaydos. You have to give thanks.
And we don't say that the Brachos Achrona in any way is Hoda.
It's a different type of Hoda. It's a different type of Hoda. Yeah. You'd have to make the Bracha Achrona as well.
You'd have to do that as well.
Yeah.
It means by Rashi you can say Bracha even if you forgot it.
Hmm? Even if...
If you didn't say, you can say...
You can still say the Bracha. This is, yeah, because Rashi is not saying, right, what was the reason why we explained that you don't have to make a Bracha? Because the item itself is a Heftza Shel Issa. Yeah, it's also is prohibited, therefore you have to make a Bracha. If there's no item that's prohibited, there's no therefore I have to make a Bracha before I... Yeah, there's nothing there to make a Bracha on. But if you say that the Bracha itself isn't because of the prohibition, right? That's the Bracha. That is the Bracha. Because I'm having pleasure, I'm having anah. That's the Bracha. As a result of that, there's going to be a situation, if it's here, that it's going to be prohibited. But otherwise, I always have to make a Bracha. Even if it's gone, I have to make a Bracha. Tzarech lahayda is lemisha barim. You have to give thanks to who created it. So this will be a tremendous, what's called a nafgamina, a practical difference between whether you explain that the source of brachas is a prohibition, therefore you have to make a bracha, or that you have to make a bracha, an obligation of thanks, you have to make a bracha, therefore there's a prohibition. Yeah, another situation where we'd have a nafgamina, where we'd have a similar practical difference would be, imagine if you're in a situation where you're stuck in a bathroom, yeah, locked in a bathroom, and you no foreseeable, you know, until your spouse comes home or someone, you know, bangs on the door later on at night, you're going to be stuck in there.
That's happened at the butchery.
Hmm?
One of the employees got locked in the bathroom, handled
them okay. Let's imagine that was overnight, and they knew that the next time someone's gonna release them, they're gonna be released, you know. But it's not gonna be till tomorrow morning,
yeah.
And they're really thirsty.
Yeah.
Say the last part.
They're really thirsty.
Yeah, of course.
You're really thirsty. Now in a bathroom, you can't make a bracha.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a place which is fitting for make a bracha. Also, you shouldn't really eat or drink in the bathroom. But if you need to, then you are allowed to.
Yeah.
But so what do you do? So what does this person do? Now, of course, if it's a pekuach nefesh situation, if it's a life and death, you know, he's not going to be, you know, doesn't ever foresee himself being let out, then for sure he's allowed to drink, right? But we're talking about a case where he knows he's going to be released tomorrow, right. Yeah, and he's just uncomfortable. He'd like to have a drink. She was it, a lady employee.
It was a man.
It was a guy. Okay, yeah. So he'd like to have a drink.
But
you're not allowed to make a bracha. Yeah. You're not allowed to make a bracha in here. So, the question is he allowed to drink?
Depends what is...
Without making a bracha. So, what do you mean, it depends?
By Rashi, probably, yes.
Why?
You can say bracha later, whenever you...
Okay.
You can... Somebody yeah. opens...
What if it's going to be very, very, very long, and after he has a drink, he knows he's not going to be till tomorrow morning. Is he allowed to have a drink at night? Then it's not the bracha is not going to last. It's going to be too long.
How do we know that? How do we know what the zman is for the
sheer ikul, the digestive time for a liquid maximum 15 minutes.
So that's
maximum
what
18
we
minutes.
Say is at that point. After that point.
After that point, you can't make the bracha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is water. It's not digested.
Well,
so you are right. Technically, you are right.
But, at least
but for a little bit of a different reason,
it's
right?
Not yeah. prohibited.
Because Rashi's saying, remember. According to Rashi, Rashi says there's an obligation to give thanks. That's why you have to make a bracha. Here, there's no obligation to give thanks. You can't make a bracha.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bracha. So the chiyuv, the obligation to give thanks over here, doesn't exist. Because you can't make a bracha in the bathroom. Therefore, you can drink, because in Tate.
Without bracha.
You can drink without the bracha. There's no obligation to make a bracha. There's only an obligation to make a bracha when you can make a bracha. But if you're going to say that it's also loyla adam shiyanem and loyla mezeb loy bracha, you're not allowed to have any pleasure from the world without making a bracha. Here you can't make a bracha. Okay, so you're stuck.
You're stuck unless it's
you're stuck.
Really
nothing you can do. What can I do? I can't make a bracha. Right. This thing is a chefta shalissa. It's as also in a place where I can make a bracha as it is in a place where I can't make a bracha. It's still prohibited. I can't take pleasure from it without making a bracha. So according to the simple explanation of the Gemara, in this situation you wouldn't be able to have a drink. But according to Rashi, it's an obligation. I'm now in this situation, I'm exempt from this obligation. I can't make a bracha. So you would be able to have a drink without the bracha.
But what is we follow Rashi or
How do we paskin? So
what rule we use?
So we said that we paskin like Rashi. We paskin like the Ramah.
It means
we paskin like the Ramah, which is like Rashi's explanation.
It means you
don't vary the nusach at all. It's the still shekel.
I guess so.
When you're saying it, I mean, I guess the lashon is not. You're saying who created all. You're not saying.
For what we are about to eat.
Yeah. So, okay.
No, but is it in situation best rule we follow Rashi?
So the fact that the Ramah says that you do make a bracha, if we're explaining that according to what Rashi says, that it's an obligation to give thanks, then it could be in that situation, then you would be allowed to drink without making a bracha.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a bag of groceries in there.
If you have a bag of groceries, yeah, you can eat and...
A lot of hana eating in the bathroom, I gotta admit. It's not a good example.
Well, I think it's a perfect example.
You get joy out of...
The
hana itself is a tangible, objective thing. Yeah. Wherever you are, it's still called, whatever situation you may be. Right. Your final meal, your last meal.
Yeah.
It's not much hana. No, there's an objective,
right,
tangible hana of ingesting food. Anyway, okay, so that is a nice little halachic reasoning for you over here. And next week, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to start a new sukkah.
But Rashi usually make life a little easier.
Not always. Generally, Rashi is not necessarily. We see that Rashi over here is not paskining.
We're not
paskining. We don't generally paskin from Rashi.
You said
we see that he's a mefarish. A mefarish is a perush, is an explanation, a commentary, an explanation.
It means he,
yeah, there is, of course, sometimes there's going to be. Sometimes he does explicitly paskin. Very, very seldom. Very, very seldom, yeah. Indeed. Yeah, hardly ever does he actually say, "And this is the halacha." Sometimes he does, though, but other times we'll make an inference based on how Rashi explains the Gemara. We'll make an inference that this must be how he paskins, and sometimes we'll consider that and we'll use that for halacha. Over here, this is a little bit less. This is more of a drasha. Yeah, this is sort of, he doesn't say anything, clearly at all. Mm-hmm. So we're inference from the fact that he calls it a chiyuv, an obligation, as opposed to a prohibition, right? What does he do with the prohibition? Well, it must be the prohibition comes out of the obligation, as opposed to the obligation coming from the prohibition. Based on that, we want to say this.
But Rashi lived much later
than the Gemara, yeah. 10, 50, 10. 10:55
to 11:00. It means he read everything. He was own a kind of conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.